Then they were basically told they need to go back home. And they wouldn't. And I'm telling you, I believe that's why God allowed Hitler. It's because of Hitler's attempt at the final solution to wipe the Jews out that they started going home in droves. And Jeremiah talks about that. Said, if you won't go home when you're supposed to, then he said, I will have you hunted like animals, like dogs, and driven back. That's what's happened. That's why when idiots like our Secretary of State under Bill Clinton, Madeleine Albright, says, I believe the Jews should all go home, back to Germany and Poland. That's what she said. You're like, so they can be persecuted again? So they can be drove out of the countries again? Because that's what will happen. That's happening here in America right now. The only reason the Jews aren't being rounded up the way they did in those countries is because of our Constitution and our legal system. Because there are millions of Americans today who would love to round all those Jews up. That's the reason that happened. And there's coming a day where they will all go home and they will stay there permanently. Look what Amos says. And there's so many references we could run, but I'm just giving you the gist of it tonight. Amos 14 and 15. And there's people who read this and they'll say, oh, this was talking about bringing them back for when Jesus came. But remember, again, they didn't have a king when Jesus came. And when the Old Testament talks about bringing Israel back again and then them being in the land, two things. They'll have a king and they'll never be removed again. Mm-hmm. Hasn't happened. They haven't come back and had a king. They rejected their king. Of the lineage of David, Jesus was the DNA genetic son of David through Mary and her genes, through Nathan, David's son. And he had a claim to the throne through David and Solomon and Joseph as his adopted father. Had it all covered, and Israel rejects him. Look at verse 14. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Well, that's what they're doing now. But I got to interject this. As you get into the New Testament, we're given more revelation. And you go to Revelation 12, you'll see that they're going to be in the land like they are now. The Bible predicted that 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation, 1,900 years ago. They're there, but Revelation 12 says they're going to be run out again. Yeah. And then they'll be run out by the Antichrist, and Satan himself is the power behind it. They'll go. We believe they're going to go to Petra, the rock city. And then when Jesus returns, he lands on the Mount of Olives, they all go running back to home. That is when they'll never leave again. That's right. When Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives and they go back that time, they'll never leave again. Amen. And that's what verse 15 says. Read it with me. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Has never happened. Every preacher that says otherwise is a liar. He's a wolf. And the majority of preachers in America will tell you that this is not future. They're liars. And this has not happened because when it happens, the Jews will never be pulled out again. So when they say the Jews over there today are imposters and all that kind of stuff, you're listening to a man full of the spirit of Lucifer. Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies. And that's a whopper. You talk about a lie, completely in contradiction to God's word over and over and over. One of the biggest whopper lies you could ever tell. And the majority of pastors and preachers in the United States of America, Europe, and around the world will lie to you about that. God watches over his land jealously. Now, you have to understand something. Do you know that being jealous is not a sin? You've been lied to about that probably too, because I was. I was lied to by preachers. Some of them didn't know any better. They were ignorant. Jealousy is not a sin, or God's a sinner. You know what? I'm jealous for my wife. Now, I trust her, so every time she talks to a man, I don't get up, you know, and, what are you doing talking to that man? You know, that's the kind of jealousy that is sin, because when you're not trusting your wife and she hasn't given you any reason not to trust her, you're the problem. And I'll let you on a secret. Most of the time, people who act like that, they should not be trusted. They're thinking of you doing what they're doing in secret. Yeah. And boy, I could tell some stories about that myself. But I trust this lady. But, you know, Satan will always be right there to try to whisper in your ear about whether it's your wife or a business partner or whatever. You got to be careful with that stuff. Because you should only be jealous in a godly manner.
Amen.
And for example, be jealous over your wife, not somebody else's wife.
Right.
A lot of murders have happened. Because men get jealous for somebody else's wife.
Yep.
And then there's other times where they're not even married. And the jealousy will drive them to at least assault, if not murder. That kind of things happen. So you have to be... Anger is another one I want to bring in there. There's nothing sinful about being angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not.
Amen.
And we should... God is angry with the wicked every day.
Yep.
I get angry with the wicked. But the difference is God is holy and he has every right. If you want to, you can smash him like a bug.
Yeah,
I'm not holy. I have no right to that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I could even pray, Lord, smash him like a bug. You know what God will say? Find something else to do. Not that he never does that. But that's up to him. He's the holy, just, and righteous God. Leave it in his hand. But he's jealous over his land, and it's not a sin. That land belongs to him. And what he's jealous over is he's told the Jews, don't give up your land. Fight for your land. If you stand for your land, I'll be with you.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy 11:12, this is an amazing passage. God describes this land. God is describing this land. He says, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. And he has told Moses this. And Moses is letting the people know this land God cares for. And by the way, he didn't have to give it to the Jews, the Hebrews. And he tells them that. He reminds them, I didn't give this because you're so wonderful. Listen, you know there's only one reason God gave this land to Israel? Do you know why? Because he promised Abraham.
Yes.
That's the only reason. He promised Abraham, I'm going to give you this land and to your seed after you through Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's sons.
He keeps his word.
And he can't do otherwise but keep his word. That's why. And yeah, there's been some really nasty, ugly, disgusting Jews on this planet, just like the Gentiles. And God, you know, like Judas. Judas was a Jew, went to hell. Any Jew that rejects Jesus Christ will go to hell. George Soros. Boy, we can name him. The Rothschild family. I mean, how many of them were ever saved do you know of? You know, on and on. Look at all the actors and actresses, some of the most blasphemous people on the planet, and Jews. I tell people, I do not wonder that especially unsaved people get on this. The Jews control the banks, and the Jews control Hollywood, and the Jews, the protocols of Zion, and all that stuff. I'm not surprised by that. I'm only surprised when someone who claims to be a child of God does that, because they should know better. Leave that up to God. God's going to judge the Jews.
Yep.
And if it makes you feel any better, the truth is that they got some really dark days ahead of them.
Yeah.
They don't really need you and I to judge them.
Right.
And in the tribulation, that 70th week of Daniel, 2 out of 3 are going to die.
Yep. Right.
And those that remain are going to run into Petra to try to survive. And it's just going to be a terrible time. Well, It's all about that land which the Lord thy God promised Abraham, and he can't break his promise. And he says, for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Think of that. And think about what he must think about the Muslims up there on the Temple Mount. And all the fags, I'm sorry, sodomites in Tel Aviv. All that faggotry going on. In the Jerusalem, they had a pride parade. Proud of their wickedness. Right there in Jerusalem and Israel. God is going to kill them all. They better repent. For the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. You say, well, I thought God saw everything, knows everything. That's the point. Is he's trying to tell you this is something a little special. He is omnipresent. He knows all, sees all, but there's something about that land where he's got a bit of a focus there. Watching it. Let me provide some food for thought. You say, well, you know, that just still seems to... If you come to the Miller house, Miller Acre as we like to call it, we have one room big enough to put people in. And we have about, I think we have a total of 9 adults can sit in the couches and chairs. And then the way I was raised, if you have kids, they can either go play or sit on the floor. And so there's all these, but there's one particular chair. As I'm showing you there, that's it. Now, over the years, it's been a different chair, but whatever chair is in that place, no one is to sit on that chair except for me. It's just like Archie Bunker, yeah. You come over to our house, you'll see that. And that's the only body in that chair. Jenny doesn't even sit in it.
I don't sit in that chair.
Only me. Well, I correct myself. Cammy sits there too. She kind of runs the house. So Cammy, and sometimes she wants me out. All right, time to get up. Now, you may think that's awful stingy. That's awful. You know, if someone comes to you at your house, if that's a good chair, you should offer that chair. Well, let me ask you, do I have a reason for not sharing my chair? Do you think I might?
Maybe.
Well, it's mine, and the land belongs to God. But see, it's deeper than that. The reason I can't let anybody sit in that chair is because back when I used to allow people to sit in my chair, I would frequently find myself getting sick because I have a thing related to my COPD called chemical sensitivity. Yes, I'm sensitive. But petroleum-based ingredients in hair products and perfumes and colognes, even detergents and what they call that, fabric softeners, you name it. And somebody come over and plop in my chair, and not just like, oh, you know, I'd be gracious about it and sit over in Jenny's chair. And then they would leave, and I'd go over and sit down, and I'd be like, see, I can't smell it. She's like the canary who will go in, and she can actually, and I just start getting sick. I get a headache. I start feeling, I say, Jenny, I'm so sick. And then she'd go, and then she'd say, there's something on your chair. How many times did that happen? And so finally, we're like, told everybody, just don't sit on Greg's chair, and we'd explain it, you know. But see, I have my reasons. You come over to my house, and you start it, and we're like, oh, no, no, don't sit there. Don't, please, don't sit there.
Wow, talk about touchy.
You know? But see, I have a reason. Well, that's the same thing about that land. God's got his reason. Oh, I thought I'd throw that in there. Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. There's actually a movement to get petroleum-based stuff out. They also put formaldehyde, titanium dioxide and heavy metals. They actually used aborted cells at one time, and they claim they don't do that anymore. So that's just an FYI. But back to the text, God has his reasons for being jealous for his land. Now, look back in Joel, in that same verse, and many, many times I've read that verse, verse 18, and not really paid attention to the explanations right there. It says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land, and what?
Pity his people.
It's a very practical thing. You realize, like I said, every time the Jews have gone anywhere, they're hated. And yes, sometimes they bring it on themselves. But a lot of times it's jealousy for them because they are so good with money. The bankers. And they're good in business. And you can see that if you watch the movies like Schindler's List and those, you'll see what that kind of sets up. And Fiddler on the Roof. Got to watch that again. That's one of my favorites. You didn't know I like musicals. I told you I'm sensitive. But that's one of my favorite movies, Fiddler on the Roof. If you haven't watched that, you ought to. It's actually very historically accurate and educational and all that. But they were run out of town in that movie. And they were run out of town in Poland and run out of town in Germany. Even after World War II was over. Did you know that? Over in Poland, they were murdering Jews after World War II. Russia, the Soviet Union. God says, you know, there's one place where you're going to feel welcome and one place you're going to be welcome, and it is in that land. Yeah. And until that happens, so there you have it. That's God's purpose, he tells you. And we'll see God's final response to land grabbers when we get into Joel 3. So let's close out. Let's look at verses 19 and 20 as we read. And once God then gives the land in a permanent sense, after Revelation 12, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathens. There's still a reproach now. But there's coming a day where they're going to be the cool kids. The Bible says people grab a hold of a Jew. You remember that? We read that this week. And want to be with them. Like Ruth with Naomi. Verse 20 then says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. That's going to happen during the tribulation. And will drive him into a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part, his rear end, toward the utmost sea. God's going to hand him their rear ends. That's what it says. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things, not great in a good way, just great, like someone says it's a great tragedy and great wickedness, you know, that kind of thing. So let's close there with this comment, all future promises that have not yet happened. Those are what we just read. Now, verse 21, read that. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. So the northern army is wicked and does great things in a bad sense. God's going to do great things, which will include really bad things for the Antichrist and his armies and all the world who turns against the Jews. So we'll close with this. Believers believe God's promises and plan accordingly. The lost do not, and suffer accordingly. Amen.
Friday.
Happy New Year, Friday. Wasn't that nice?
Amen.
Now let's see if we can sound anything like that.
Water like the snow.
sounded like angels. I've never heard angels sing, so I can say that and not lie.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.